weather? Sunny with a 100% chance of government overreach. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
A lobster is a soft, mushy animal that lives inside of a rigid shell. That rigid shell does not expand. Well, how can the lobster grow? Well, as the lobster grows, that shell becomes very confining. Right? And the lobster feels itself under pressure and uncomfortable. It goes under a rock formation to protect itself from predatory fish, casts off the shell, and produces a new one. Well, eventually, that shell becomes very uncomfortable as it grows, right? Back under the rocks. Good. And the lobster repeats this numerous times. The stimulus for the lobster to be able to grow is that it feels uncomfortable. Right? Now, if lobsters had doctors, they would never grow. Because as soon as the lobster feels uncomfortable, goes to the doctor, gets a Valium, gets a Percocet, feels fine. Never gets off its shell. So I think that we have to realize is that we have to realize that times of stress are also times that are signals for growth. And if we use adversity properly, we can grow through adversity.
I love that. That was Rabbi Tooley, I believe. great clip. There's so many things like that. I'm not saying that doctors don't have a place, that I wouldn't turn to one for a certain reason, because I would. I look for really good doctors, though. And after what my husband and I went through several years ago, my eyes were so opened that I can't unsee what I saw, and I can't... I don't have the faith that I used to. Maybe you're different too now. Maybe after going through these last 4 years, you feel very, very different about medical practice. In the last hour, I was talking about the Paul Byrne interview. Dr. Paul Byrne has testified many times in cases where it involved organ transplantation, because he is not okay with organ transplantation. He came out and said, first of all, don't take the apnea test. The apnea test is not a real true test about where your loved one's at in that 10 minutes and in that moment. That they are not there. There's 14 different reflexes, different things that they test, and they don't test all 14, they only test 6. And then when they take them off the ventilator, they give them about 10 minutes to show you a window in which you're supposed to see your loved one isn't going to come back. But really what that test does is the carbon dioxide builds up in the brain, and it makes the situation worse for the patient. So in that window, in that 10 minutes, you're more likely not going to get the response anyway, because things are now worse. They don't explain that. And that it was all started on a lie. And you can go back to the government Department of Health to look up this story, although they won't tell you the complete story. They'll tell you a big portion of it. And that was 3 days after the first heart transplant in 1967. 3 days later, they transplanted a baby organ, a baby heart, and it was alive and beating, put it into a 17-day-old baby. Both babies died, obviously, and that was the start of organ transplantation, and also the profiting of this industry for years and years and years. I am going to take a caller. I told you I'd take your calls, 888-673-1450, if you're listening to us in the daytime. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, here you are doing another great public service reporting this. I took my red dot off my driver license about 30 years ago.
Good.
And it's actually a little bit worse than even Paul Byrne's reporting here. It's just like COVID, the huge amount of money the hospitals receive for these transplants. The kidneys is the number one organ by far that they do the transplants. But it's not just the brainwaves. There were a huge amount of documentation that many people were transplanted and killed before they even had were connected to make sure their brainwaves. Even Burns is talking about unconscious and on the ventilators, and they did the transplants. And the actual war on drugs is actually contributing to this, because those of us know the economics and study that. The amount of people dying from drugs or being injured by them is greatly increased because they're illegal. There's a huge profit. Many of the drugs, there's a 100-fold increase in profit, so there's more people people in the business promoting them and selling them and growing them. So if you get rid of the war on drugs and go back to the principles our country is founded upon, legalized war, and prohibition shows that. But let me talk about, so that's one point, is that there are many people that have died, that have been killed before they even hooked them up, their brains up. But the last thing I wanted to talk about is China, because I've studied this and I've seen videotapes of this. Hundreds, probably hundreds of thousands, maybe a million, had had people that were alive were killed to transplant their or to remove their organs. I don't know if you've ever been to a fish restaurant where you can go and pick your own lobster, the, you know, the lobster
tank. Yeah, sure.
And, yeah, this is what they do in China. And I've seen the videos and hear the testimonies. They would, political prisoners, often they're political prisoners, which just criticize the government, the tyranny, and things like that. And the people would actually be able to pick who they want. They get their backgrounds, ages, and everything. The and they would go out and execute them just for their organs.
It's like a dating service, but with execution. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, right. But they weren't scheduled to be executed. They executed them to get their organs.
Yes.
And we're talking, it may be over a million they've done this, and they're coming from all over the world, including America, to Red China, where they would pick and choose who they're going to execute. And one videotape I saw this, at the last moment, the Red China representative, communist representative, realized that they were being taped and so forth, and they stopped it. But right up until that moment, they were about ready to buy the contract for the organ.
Jeez, makes me sick. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. You know, there was an author that reached out to me that I'll have on the show, a retired surgeon, actually. The last name is Marais, and spent their whole career fighting human trafficking and organ transplant. Same thing, illegal organ trafficking in Brazil. I mean, the practice of this and what they did at Harvard, all built on a lie, because Dr. Burns said that they had to make up a lie called brain death. And you'll see many, the cases that go to court, they all stand on the premise that brain death, the concept of brain death, is true. And it's not true. It was built on a lie to cover up the crime of taking that baby's heart and putting it into another baby. They both died, like I said earlier, but they had to cover up that crime so that it wasn't a crime. They had to make it a non-crime. So what they did was they decided to come up with the term brain death so that you would feel like, oh, the brain is dead, so the body will follow, so therefore we're doing the right thing by taking these organs. Now look at what that built into. All built on a lie from Harvard. Now you have organ trafficking, you have illegal organ trafficking, you have all kinds of things, just like the caller was talking about. And it's horrific. It's truly horrific. Here's a story. They very rarely cover these kinds of stories on the news, because usually what they do is they say, well, the person has brain, it can't talk, or you know, is completely nonverbal, or if they wake up out of a coma. And I do think that is to scare a lot of people. But here's a story that I've been talking about, as far as you might want to give them time to heal before you pull the plug completely. Here we go.
Incredible recovery. Doctors told Trent McKinley's parents their son was brain dead. His parents even signed a paper to donate his organs, but then they say a miracle happened. ABC's Lindsay Davis is here with more. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, Michael. There is one word that people involved in this story keep using to describe it: miraculous. One of the trauma surgeons told us the teen's heart stopped for 15 minutes. The doctors believe there was nothing else they could do. That's when the family says there was a divine intervention.
This morning, an incredible ordeal turned astounding turnaround for an Alabama boy thought to be dead, now back from the brink. The 13-year-old suffered a devastating injury back in March while playing at a friend's house. Trenton McKinley was sitting in a trailer, much like this one, attached to a dune buggy being driven by his friend, when his friend suddenly hit the brakes, causing the trailer to flip.
And I hit the concrete, and the trailer landed on top of my head. After that, I don't remember anything.
After being rushed to the hospital, doctors delivered horrible news to the teen's parents. Trenton had 7 skull fractures, and he needed not one, but 2 surgeries to remove part of his skull. Expected to never make a recovery, Trenton was declared brain dead.
He was dead a total of 15 minutes. When he came back, they said he would never be normal again. They told me the oxidation problems would be so bad to his brain that he would be a vegetable, even if he made it.
Clinging to life after surgery, his parents were preparing for the unthinkable reality that their son would never wake up and began the heart-wrenching process of actually donating his organs.
Five kids needed organs that matched him, and it was unfair to keep bringing him back. Because it was just damaging his organs even more.
Trenton's...
That's what she was told.
Parents signed the paperwork and began preparing to take their son off life support the following day. But that's when, incredibly, Trenton showed signs of life, his brain flickering aware.
The younger patients tend to have more plasticity, more ability to rewire, and other parts of their brain to pick up the slack of the parts of the brain that are no longer working.
Slowly but surely, Trenton is defying all odds since his accident.
Is he, though? I mean, he's normal, okay? So parts of his brain aren't truly dead. He's pretty normal. But, and the thing is how many more kids in this situation, how many more people in this situation if they were just allowed a chance? Now, this happened just before they were going to sign off on him and give the organs away. And look at the tactic of saying, well, there's five people that could be healed with these organs, so therefore sign away, right? And if you keep putting him through surgeries, you're going to damage those precious organs that need to go to those five people. The profiteering in that organ transplantation is huge. And on top of that, how many more miraculous stories like this would be told if we would allow people a chance to survive, a chance to heal? The brain has to heal. So that's why I wanted to hit this story hard today, is because you might find yourself in this situation. You should talk to your loved ones about this. You should get probably off the donor list, because every situation's so different when you end up in the hospital that depending on the situation, you might not want to be the consensual donor. You might want to have a chance to actually resume your life and live and heal. I just think this is so important because they're making this seem like it's one in a million. It wouldn't be one in a million if the practice was to allow people to heal, I think. And that's after all the research I've done. I'll be right back. I'm going to take more of your calls. I can see phones lighting up. I'll be right back. Hey, Dally Show.
There you go.
Is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. Incredibly happy about that. And today's an important show. It's a Friday show, so going off the political path today, there's only so much a person can take. I mean, come on. Ugh. My gosh. The world. There was a picture where this guy made hats for snakes, and the hat kind of had like two little... things out, you know, with two little balls on the end, and it put the hat on the snake, and it just said, makes the snake look nicer. And I shared that on Facebook and said, yeah, that's really our world in a nutshell right now. A lot of snakes with a lot of goofy hats so that you feel like you're in a nice little safe world. I will take callers, but I did want to share this story with you. And this story is so fascinating. 21-year-old Zach Dunlop, this was about 5 years ago, Oklahoma, appeared on the Today Show in 2008 to tell an incredible story after hearing a physician telling his parents that a PET scan confirmed that he was brain dead after a catastrophic brain injury. And while he was being prepared for organ donation, however, he moved his arm purposefully in response to stimuli. He recovered, 21 years old. He recovered, went on to a rehabilitation hospital, and ultimately went home 48 days later, very much alive. Don't you wonder what can be heard? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi.
My father had a kidney transplant back in 2008, and I do believe it extended his life. However, my father also had high blood pressure in his 40s. And the way I understand it, he didn't do anything about it. Now, back then, and I'm sure if you knew enough about herbs and all that back then, this is back in the 80s, yeah, he could have done something, I'm sure, through herbs, medication, whatever. But I keep wondering, could this kidney transplant have been prevented years ago? I'm glad he was able to get the transplant to extend his life 10 years. Don't get me wrong. Great mm-hmm. things happened in that 10-year period, believe me. But I just keep wondering, should he have or should we have been more about nutrition so that we didn't have to get to this point?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I think every case is going to be so different on this. And that's why there's no blanket approach to this, I think, after really kind of delving into this. But I also feel like the carte blanche donor, yes, I'm a donor and I'm doing something for society, has got to stop. We need to go case by case. The situations are going to be drastically different. And I think that ever since they started this practice, yes, there are going to be people that benefit. There are going to be people that you'll see, oh, yes, this person got this transplant and they benefited. But I'm wondering at what cost? Because I don't know, the cost is coming from a lie. So not sure how to remedy that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you've got to, and I know you know who this guy is. You've got to, mm-hmm. and I'm open to learning about this. Don't get yeah. me wrong, but you got a real popular youth speaker down there in Utah, John Bindewald.
Mm-hmm, sure.
His brother had a kidney transplant, and John, yeah. by the way, donated it. So as I know, he's doing fine, so I'm not sure.
I think consenting.
How you go piece by case by this.
I don't know. Consenting to something, you know, you're living, you give one of your kidneys away. I don't think that's what this is. What I'm talking about is, they're declaring somebody brain dead. Brain death is based on a lie that was put out by Harvard in the late 60s, and we're not understanding that portion of it. Do you know what I mean? So can you be successful yeah. in a kidney transplant? Sure. Can you be successful in that? Yes. The problem's going to be is how often are we doing this? What are we doing? And what are we doing upon saying somebody's dead and that person is now dead and all the organs are transplanted? Thank you for the call. We don't know what's going on. We don't know if that person is truly dead. We don't know what's happening here. That's the worry. That's my worry with this, is that you want to give one of your kidneys to somebody and you're both living through the thing. Great. Take the chance. Fine. Consent. Great. Okay. It does lead to some illegal activity and things happening, but yes, okay. The problem is that if you're declaring somebody dead, are you sure they are? You sure they couldn't heal? And we're told it's a good thing, and we're told right away we got to do it. Be right back.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Visit my wonderful sponsors. There's a reason I have them. I handpick them. I hope you know that. It's all the things I use. So all the things I love. Otherwise, I would not have them as sponsors. So activatefiq.com. Get the supplements. They are fantastic. I got the copper cream and I'm loving it. And the sleep product is amazing. I can't say enough about it. They're all natural. It's fantastic. Activatefiq.com. Code word is Kate. Also text Birch Gold 989898 and text my name Kate. You'll get some wonderful free information to do something that's free to do. Can't be better than that. My gosh. Take that window of opportunity while you've got it and back up everything you've got with gold that's hanging out there, your savings, your retirement, everything. But get the information. At least look at that. 989898 and put in my name, Kate, in the message. Send it off. Text it. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Kate, Mike.
Hi, Mike. What do you think about today's topic?
I think this is what makes your show unique, and it's why no one else talks about this, and it's very informative, and it, like Mark said, it's truly a service,
yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you.
And,
thanks for that.
Even though now I got a little bit of homework this weekend, because, you know, I'm still a resident of Florida, and I remember a few years back I had changed my whatever designation to not be a donor, but I need to go back and check on that to make sure, because if, you know, it seems like the theme of the show is that the donor, it's implied consent, basically. Yes. Is kind of like, you know, they're trying to sneak this in on us, right?
Yeah. They started on a lie. You know, I mean, the lie was built about brain death. So they use brain death to convince everybody to do this. And it's a multi-billion dollar industry. So if they had to start on a lie, what's authentic about it? You know?
Exactly. So I want to make a couple more points real quick.
Please.
One is kind of, we're going to go into woo-woo land real quick.
Go
here,
for it.
Okay?
I'm fine.
So I remember hearing, it was an interview, it was a few years back, it was about, and this was about a heart transplant, and it was, I remember this one, it was an older lady got a heart transplant, and she found out later on from the nurse or whatever, because all this is supposed to be, you know, anonymous and things like that, but she found out that the donor of the heart was this younger guy who had been killed on a, in a motorcycle wreck. And the lady that received the transplant, she didn't drink at all. But after she got this heart transplant, she had this uncanny desire to drink beer. Okay? Yeah. And so, and she found out, I mean, this is so crazy, but she found out that, you know, this guy, he liked to drink beer. And, you know, the point, I know.
No, so it's point, not crazy because it's not crazy because people that receive plasma will tell you that when they receive plasma, depending on the batch that they get, they have different cravings for food, different weird, different things happen. So I'm with you on this. Yeah. Go for it.
Exactly.
Yep.
No, exactly. And, you know, and so to incorporate the Bible talks about the heart. It talks a lot about the heart.
Yeah.
And so what we dismiss, you know, the heart is this incredible blood pump. It's, I think it, we're finding out, and if we really want to dig into it, it's much more as integral, to who we are, so, our spirit, and things like that.
So you're talking about it not just being an organ, but a DNA imprint.
Right.
Which would make sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And okay, I want to go real dark real quick.
Do it.
So
do it. Bring it.
In the future, you know, but in the future, it talks about during the tribulation that beheading will be the primary way of death, that they're going to, you know, wipe out a lot of Christians and stuff like that. And I, you know, I've had this discussion with a couple of friends of like-mindedness that doesn't it make sense that if you're using the guillotine, it's such a simple, easy way to harvest organs or whatever. And maybe I'm going off script here from what, you know,
not at all,
but opposed to like the way the Holocaust went, where people were done away with that way. But it's just something to think about.
And
incredible show today.
Thank
and I just
you.
Really appreciate it.
You bet.
It's what makes you unique.
Ah, thanks. Okay. I love the comments. Thank you so much. I'm going to build on that one. Thank you. In Project Bluebeam, and I don't know how many talk show hosts talk about that. They should be. Talks about how they're going to come and come up with their own version of Christ's coming. Yeah, through AI, through all the tricks that they can do to make it seem visible, right? How they're going to do that. But also in that was organ transplantation too, that people would be incarcerated, that and not because you did anything, but for specific reasons like that. So it's not really that dark to go there. I mean, it's dark, yes, dark material, yes, for sure. But on at the same time, I get it. And I think that listening to God in these situations where you have a loved one on the brink, and I know because my husband and I have had these talks too, and the thought of being a vegetable does not appeal. I get that. Trust me. I get that. But also, about 4 months ago, there was a story and it talked about when does life end? And this father didn't believe his daughter was dead, but he said the hospital still harvested her organs. Brittany O'Connor, declared brain dead, her father clashed with all the medical authorities. I think you're going to see many more legal battles over this, by the way. And then the battle was shining a light on America's legal definition of death and thousands waiting for organ donation. Mike O'Connor had been told that his daughter was brain dead. Brittany had been in the hospital for 6 days. And she had a big blue tube taped to her mouth and the other connected to a respirator, pushed the air into her lungs, right? And he said he'd come to her bedside and hope and pray that she would open her eyes. And that's where he was, by her bed, when a policeman entered her room at the intensive care unit, Fresno Community Hospital. Mike didn't believe that Brittany was dead. He felt it in his gut. He felt it in his spirit that she was very much alive in there. And she was. She wasn't declared dead, so she was alive. Forcefully, he told the care team that she was alive and that she was fighting and that they just wanted her heart, her lungs, her kidney for donation. And he feared that the hospital would remove her from life support and that the Donor Network West, which is the ones pressing the issue, would procure her organs. He thought he was fighting for his daughter's life, and he believed the hospital and organization needed his consent. Yet the hospital now called a police officer to remove him from her bedside. This is his daughter's bedside, to remove him from the hospital premises. She, without a doubt, he said, was responding to her, to his touch. They wanted me to pull the plug, and I said no. He was given 3 minutes to say goodbye to his daughter. Wow. She was 26, mother of two children. And they took her organs. And he didn't consent to this, didn't say this was okay. And they told her she was brain dead. And the police officer said to him, I don't want to take you to jail. It's the last thing I want to do. And he told the police officer, because you think, you know, you got to have somebody in that police officer that can listen, right? He said, I'm afraid they're going to kill her. Then pulling the plug on her now would be murder. And now I'm worried about her safety. After 3 minutes, the officer escorted him out of the hospital. I can't tell you how many times that happened during COVID. Cops are not on your side in this kind of thing. They'll do what the hospital wants them to do. And he posted a message on Facebook asking his friends to call the hospital, tell them not to pull the plug on her. And when he called the next day, he said they refused to tell him where his daughter was. And took the organs. They took her heart, kidneys, liver, and lungs while she was alive. Tissue was also collected for donation. I know we think that we are going to have a say. I know we think we're going to be able to make the decisions for our loved ones. Not necessarily. Look what they did during COVID. Look at the hospitals. Look how on board they were with everything that they were doing, right? And the cops were on board with whatever the hospital wanted. Yeah, separating loved ones, the whole nine yards. You think you have rights, we don't. The government took over the hospital industry, took over medicine. Don't believe me? Go look it up. Be right back.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Important Friday show. A strange Friday show. I have a couple more points to make because I want to go full circle on this. Because some things dawned on me that I want to share with you. I would take yourself off the donor, the driver's license donor thing. I would, please don't do that. Tell your kids not to do that. Because in most states now, maybe all, most states, you, as a family, can't make that decision for them. Once that's on the, if something happens to them, if it's on the driver's license, doesn't matter, they're going to do what they're going to do. And they sure are in a rush. And I understand that they tell you they have to be in a rush because the organs are only good for so long. But I mean, they're going into hospital rooms like immediately and saying brain dead and we need the organs without even giving so much as an opportunity for the family to even discuss it, which really ticks me off, to tell you the truth. I've seen too many stories. This isn't good. Now, The Guardian 4 months ago did a really good job on talking about the thing that Dr. Paul Byrne, that I shared his comments with you in the first hour. They talked about the fact that it was in 1967 when the first heart transplant took place in South Africa, right? The world of medicine realized the use of a dead person's organs to save the life of another. Problem here is that that's not true. The Guardian did a bad job in that sentence because the person had to be alive. You can't take organs from a cadaver. Patients without brain function whose heart and lungs mechanically revived were ideal organ donors, okay, because they're still alive. They actually did cite that the Harvard Medical School convened to examine what it meant for a person to have heart and lung function but not brain function. See, this is where the lie is where they convene together to say this is what brain death is. And their objective, says The Guardian, was twofold: to establish uniform criteria to determine when a brain has ceased to function. Now ask yourself why they had to do that. Ask yourself that. Why did they have to have this criteria to do that? Why did they have to come up with uniform criteria to determine when a brain had ceased to function? Person dies, they die. But anyway, the second one was to provide the burgeoning organ transplantation practice with a clear source of healthy organs. Truth. That is true. At Harvard Medical School, Warwick, a physician there, said the Harvard committee spoke as much to the legal community as it did to the medical, keenly aware of just how far behind the courts had been left by advances in medical resuscitative science. Do you guys realize now how damaging the 60s was? What an awful decade that was for us, for freedom, for brainwashing, for everything that happened in the 60s. Do you guys realize how many times I have to go back to the 60s and go, well, this decade, man, it was on steroids. They changed everything for us. So now we're in a spot where they can't tell you when life begins. We all know when life begins. It begins at conception. There is no other point to which life begins. And now we don't know when death ends, when death is there. We are talking as much as what a baby is, and now they've done this to death too. We don't know when death is. We have to have Harvard get together to convene a lie to tell us when death is or isn't. So we've done this to birth now, and we've done this to death. And this has all changed in the last 60 years. And I don't know if we have really, truly realized that yet, that we are having a hard time now with both, and now there's arguments over both. If you're a living organism, you have to kill it to stop it from progressing, you're very much alive at conception. On the other hand, death, what is death? If they had to come up with a lie called brain death, we have a problem. And they did, to cover up crime. It's a crime. And Paul talked about that a lot. Here are some of his comments again.
Anybody would have predicted. I started to investigate brain death. And it took about 2 years till I understood the language of brain death. Brain death is a lie. It's a lie that's been told over and over again, so people don't even realize it's a lie anymore. But it's been a lie from the beginning, continues to be a lie.
Yeah, he's right. And that they have these people at the hospital, these people that rush right in to become your friend, to become very friendly with you, and say, I'm so sorry for you, and here I am to bring some happiness to the situation so you can feel like you've served others. Ouch. What did he call them, Paul Byrne? Dr. Paul Byrne?
Transplants. They have a designated requester, and a designated requester is usually a very nice person who dresses nice and be friends. The relatives, can I get you a cup of coffee? Oh, I know this has to be terrible on you. We'll do everything we can to help you. And all of that is part of getting them indoctrinated to get their organs.
And now a lot more drug deaths amongst the youth, like he said, the children, organs, and then also 16 to 30. Think about how many drug overdoses are in that age group from 16 to 30. Is there a reason we're seeing a lot more drug legalization, right? And a lot more of the cases of drug abuse going up? We also have now euthanasia. Look at Canada. Look at all the euthanasia problems with trying to cast that out as a solution that you can choose along with organ transplant crimes. Can you see where I'm going with that? We are delving into a society that looks at those organs and not the life that's supporting those organs. That's the problem. If you have to start this on a lie, like Harvard did, if you have to come up with what brain death is and a term called brain death that was concocted, it was concocted in the 60s, late 60s. If you have to lie to do it, then something about this is very, very, very wrong. And if something happens to you and it says donor on your license, please take it off so that your family has an opportunity. Talk to your family about this. Have them listen to this show. Share this show so that people can make informed decisions about their loved ones or about themselves, telling your wishes to your loved ones before something like that is done. Look at that guy that said, I know my daughter was alive and I know she wanted to remain alive. She maybe could have healed out of that situation. They took her in very much alive and took her organs. That is enough to make my stomach turn. And I know it's enough to make your stomach turn. I know, a strange Friday show, not very upbeat, but man, informative. And you know what? We need to be informed now. There's just no more messing around. We have to know these things. And when you realize how it's all started, ouch, something to be said for that. Please share this show. Everyone needs to hear this. And that was Dr. Paul Byrne, by the way, in all that tape earlier. Be faithful, be fearless out there in telling the truth. See y'all Monday on Eclipse Day.